Il-program li ser tisimaw u għam iġjub li l-kombixxu għat-tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
Welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. I'm Patricia Camilleri. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research, their international networks, their aims and plans for the future. I shall also be hearing from staff and students about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. This is the program that keeps you informed about what's happening on campus. My guest today here on University Matters, Campus FM, is Professor Gloria Lauri Lucente. Professor Lauri Lucente lectures in the Department of Italian, and one of her special fields of interest is film. And in fact, I'm sure that many of the listeners to Campus FM are already familiar with her film programs. Today, in fact, she's here to talk about a film festival, the 9th Italian Film Festival, which will be taking place this week at the Italian Cultural Institute, here on campus, and at St. James Cavalier in Valletta. Welcome, Professor Lauri Lucente.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, perhaps we could, before going into the detail about the film, perhaps to look into the genesis of this festival and what its main aims really are.
Yes, actually this is the 9th festival, as you mentioned, and the brainchild of this festival is actually Arturo Mingardi, who frequently comes to Malta. He's from Sicily, but he frequently comes to Malta. He's very interested in Malta and Maltese culture, but he also had this idea of organizing a film festival every year because he noticed that at the cinema it's not so easy to see Italian films. So he had this idea, and this was 9 years ago. About 5 years ago, I actually met him, and we came up with the idea of actually extending the festival and inaugurating the festival here on campus, and actually exposing our own students, the general public, and also our students within the Department of Italian and also within the Faculty of Arts and university-wide, to a series of Italian films.
So I think that's an important point, that it really is open to everybody.
Everybody. Everybody is more than welcome. And the films that we have chosen are quite diverse, both from a stylistic point of view and also content-wise. And so they should appeal to many people. You have the opportunity of watching 8 films within only a few days, actually within 1 week. The public, the students, everyone can watch 8 films over how many days? From the 6th of December to the 11th of December.
And in a way it's good because you've got these 3 different venues, so at least exactly. People are sort of moving from one place to the other. Perhaps the best way to proceed would be in chronological order. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. And the 3 venues that you mentioned, this is a collaborative effort. The Istituto, the Italian Cultural Institute, together with the Italian Embassy is involved, and also St. James and the Faculty of Arts. This is a Faculty of Arts initiative. And so therefore we thought it would be appropriate to hold screenings in the 3 different venues.
And so let's start off with the first one. It's going to happen at the Istituto Italiano di Cultura, St. George's Square in Valletta, on Tuesday the 6th at 6 o'clock. And what's it going to be?
It's a documentary. It's actually a continuation of an extremely successful documentary which was screened last year, shot by Marco Spagnoli, who is actually a film critic, and he's also a direttore of numerous festivals, the Festival di Bari and also Rome Fiction Festival. And also, he also worked as a direttore or a vice direttore in Taormina as well. So he has extensive experience both as a film critic and also he's directly involved in organizing film festivals. And last year, we screened a documentary of his called Hollywood Sul Tevere, which was very successful. In fact, it won numerous awards, and it was all compiled, what Marco Spagnoli did, because Marco Spagnoli, I would like to mention, will also be here to introduce his documentary. Wow. And then afterwards, we will also have the rinfresco, refreshment with Sicilian wine and Sicilian sweets. So
chance to talk to him as
well. Exactly. The public will have the chance to talk to Marco Spagnoli, who's very personable, and he very much enjoys talking about film in general and about his documentary. Last year, Hollywood Sul Tevere was a very intriguing documentary, a montage of sequences compiled at the Istituto Luce in Rome, which showed the perception of Italians, how American divi or Hollywood stars were perceived in Italy in the 50s. And actually, it was quite a discovery for Marco Spagnoli to find all these sequences in the archives, Marlon Brando, Gregory Peck, Audrey Hepburn, with a commentary. So actually, it is an example of meta-commentary, commentary of film on film, a fascinating excursus. Same thing this year, it's a continuation, it's called Hollywood Invasion. And this time, Hollywood Invasion, well, Marco actually worked in the archives in New York, NBC Universal in New York. And he compiled a montage of sequences which once again have to do with the star system, the Hollywood star system in the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s. And again, it's an excellent opportunity for the public to hear the director talk about his own film.
And the next one is going to be held at the University of Malta here on campus, Lecture Theatre 1. That's on Wednesday, the 7th of December at 6:30 this time. So this is Passannante.
Passannante. This is actually the gala night, let's put it this way, because we have both the film director, Sergio Colabona, and also one of the leading actors who will be introducing the film and also who will be discussing their film. Again, after the screening, refreshments, so the public will be able to linger on and talk to the director, Sergio Colabona, and to one of the actors, one of the main actors, Ulderigo Pesce. Now, this is a fascinating film, both from a formal point of view and also because of the story. This was a real story, a very tragic story. The film recounts the story of an anarchist who in the late 19th century tried to assassinate, the knife was so tiny that he actually inflicted only a minor scratch on the king Umberto I. However, what happened? He was sentenced to death, he was given a pardon, but he ended up spending 35 years of his life in jail and afterwards in a mental institution. Now, that doesn't end there. One would say with his death, the whole story ends. No, the story of Giorgio Passannante continues, even in the new millennium. Why? Because in 1910, when he actually died, what happened? He was decapitated after his death, and his skull was exposed in a museum dedicated to criminology in Rome. Now, Ulderico Pesce, one of the actors of this film and who also co-wrote the screenplay with Sergio Colabona, he's a very deeply committed film theater director and also actor. What did he do? He spent about 10 years literally going from one ministry to another to obtain the authorization to have this skull removed from the Museum of Criminology in Rome and to actually give it a proper burial in his hometown. And he managed to do so in 2007. So we have two parallel stories in this film. We have the story of Passanante, Giovanni Passanante, this anarchist who very foolishly and impulsively, well, attacked Umberto I with a tiny knife. And then we have a commentary on the story, but also the story of Ulderico Pesce, together with two friends of his, who did everything, who really actually went on a campaign because they wanted to give a proper burial to Passanante, which they managed to do.
So he's playing himself, Ulderico.
Exactly, he's playing himself, exactly. That's what makes it so interesting.
Poignant.
And poignant, absolutely.
Well, I'd love to go on talking about that because that sounds fascinating. Unfortunately, we've got a few films to talk about. So we'll carry on. Then we pass on to St. James Cavalier on Thursday, the 8th of December. And the first film is I Baci Mai Dati, 2005. And that will be at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, three different films. It's a public holiday. So even the students who actually have 4 hours of film classes with me on that day, they actually are not going to miss any lectures. Let's put it this way. Well, sort of. Instead, they're going to get the street, three different films, and also, again, once again, the general public. I Baci Mai Dati, Roberta Torre. This is a film which I am sure will appeal to many because of its tone, its timbre, its effervescent. It is also a light comedy, but with serious overtones. Why? We have the story of Manuela, a 13-year-old who lives in the periphery outside, on the outskirts of Catania, with her mother, totally neurotic, self-absorbed, caricature. In fact, there's a lot of Almodovar in this film as well because of its caricatorial quality. She lives with her mother, her sister, and her father. One day, what happens? Well, the children outside in the square, there's a statue of Our Lady. Well, they're playing football and they break accidentally the statue. They're petrified, they hide the fragmented, the broken pieces of the statue, and Manuela dreams that she knows exactly where the pieces have been hidden. And fortunately, or unfortunately for Manuela, the parish priest went to this hideout, and lo and behold, yes,
there they were.
So everybody hails Manuela as a saint. And her mother, who sees a golden opportunity to make money and to manipulate her own daughter. So this is quite a cynical film as well, a skeptical film, cynical, but at the same time very effervescent, as I said. Well, what happens? A whole queue of people asking for miracles start showing up at her doorstep. For example, there's one person who would like to appear on Il Grande Fratello, the TV show, so that he will become famous. Another person who wants to make his neighbor fall in love with him, and so on and so forth. What will happen? Actually, the miracle is a metaphor, of course. It gives Roberta Torre the opportunity to actually comment in a very satiric fashion, to comment on superstition and also what happens in a world which is unable to distinguish between faith, let's put it this way, and mere superstition. But again, in a very caricatorial tone, as I said, there's a lot of Almodovar in this film, and also some Fellini, a delightful film.
Yes, it's a sort of southern Mediterranean kind of idea, this, isn't it?
Very much so.
But it probably manages then to attract another audience as well. I mean, it's a film that goes beyond just the story.
It goes beyond the story, and there are moments at the hairdresser's salon, for example, which these sequences are so caricatural and they are absolutely hilarious. So,
I'm sure they'll resonate with the Maltese public.
I think so.
And the next one, after everyone's had their lunch, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, is Noi Credavamo.
Yes, now this is a very powerful film. I would not recommend this film to anyone who cannot take violent scenes, because there is quite a lot of violence in this extraordinary film. This is an excellent film. This is one of the best films, one of the best Italian films that I've seen in the past few years, by Mario Martone. And the film is actually, well, it takes place in the 19th century. It is the story of three young men, Salvatore Domenico and Angelo, and they decide, after the 1828 riots, they decide to become part of Giuseppe Mazzini's Giovine Italia. Of course, what happens? Well, aspirations, delusions, illusions. This is a very interesting film on the Risorgimento, on the Unità d'Italia. Why? Because it sheds a different light on this topic. The Risorgimento is portrayed as a revolution that is still incomplete. So it's quite interesting. This is not merely a film which celebrates the Unità d'Italia or that celebrates the Risorgimento. This is a film which sheds light on the illusions, the delusions, the betrayal, and also the hopes of these three young men who are representative of so many other young men who participated in the Risorgimento. So this is a very, very, this is an excellent film. It won 7 awards at the David di Donatello in 2011, several awards, and it deserved to win them all.
So it doesn't give a sort of squeaky clean view of the Risorgimento. It gives you another sort of picture of how it was.
Exactly, exactly. And that is why it is so poignant. This is a very poignant film. It also looks at the interstices. It also looks at those moments which have remained obscure. And it tries to actually make us look at the hidden, obscure moments of the Risorgimento as well.
But not for the faint-hearted.
Not for the faint-hearted, definitely not. Even from the opening sequences.
Then at 7 in the evening, there will be Il Primo Incarico.
Exactly. It's her first film. She actually is a screenwriter, and an excellent screenwriter, who works with Edoardo Winspear, the director Edoardo Winspear. But she's making her debut with this film as a film director. And I chose this film because it is a film which enables the viewer to actually penetrate into a female perspective. Why? The story is the story of a young woman in 1953, set in the south of Italy, and she wins her primo incarico, which means she is sent to another village, 150 kilometers away, and that's quite far. She is sent to another village as a school teacher. But of course, she has to leave her mother, her sister, her rich fiancé, with whom she's very much in love, and she has to start a new life in a different world, a patriarchal world, an overwhelmingly patriarchal world, which stifles her femininity. And so this is actually a Bildungsroman, we could say, a female Bildungsroman. The courage of this young girl who struggles in a world which is totally alien to her. The dialogue is minimal in this film. A lot is expressed through gestures, through glances. This is a very delicate, intimate film, and I think it's an excellent first film, Il Primo Incarico.
And very recent, 6th May.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
2011, so very up to date. on Sunday the 11th, you'll be continuing at the St. James Cavalier, and at 11 o'clock in the morning there will be Malavoglia.
Exactly, Malavoglia immediately. The viewers who have read Giovanni Verga e Malavoglia, or the viewers who have seen Luchino Visconti's La Terra Trema, we have two canonical texts. A literary canonical text by Verga, Giovanni Verga, and then it's transposition to the screen by Luchino Visconti, La Terra Trema. Pasquale Scimeca, the director, draws on these two canonical texts, the literary text on the one hand and the filmic text on the other. But what does he do? He transposes this 19th century story to the 21st century. And so, I Malavoglia, he removes the definite article. It's not I Malavoglia, but Malavoglia, representative of many other families in the South. And the story takes place in our own times. So he can therefore, Pasquale Scimeca, can therefore introduce within this story by Verga, transposed to the screen by Visconti, he can introduce new elements, for example, drug trafficking, or the issue of immigration and the clandestini. This is a very powerful film by an excellent director, Pasquale Scimeca. With Malavoglia, we have an homage to Verga, to Visconti, and also a very interesting transposition to our own times of this story, of this universal story of the Malavoglia.
One of the great books of all time.
Absolutely.
I think,
the music is very, very interesting in this film. I also recommend it to anyone. And also the images of the sea, the portrayal of the Mediterranean Sea is fascinating as well. A fascinating film.
In the afternoon, after lunch, at 3 o'clock, there'll be the Pupi Avati film, Una Sconfinata Giovinezza.
Yes. Now, those viewers who actually like to shed a few tears when they go to watch a film, well, and they like to suspend their disbelief and shed a few tears, but shed a few tears with a very poetic, lyrical film. This is a nostalgic film, but once again a very delicate nostalgic film. A story, the story of Lino Settembre, who, well, he's ill. He has been diagnosed with Alzheimer. And what happens to him? He no longer lives in the present, but he goes back to his own past. He can only remember his childhood. And he lives his present as if he were still a child, which means that this is a film which will take us back to the memories, to the childhood of Lino Settembre. Lino Settembre is accompanied in all of this by his wife Chicca. His wife Chicca loves him so much that she is by his side, and her conjugal love, let's put it this way, is transformed into a maternal love, because Lino, well, because of this disease, regresses to a childhood infantile state. A very poetic film, as I said. Pupi Avati is at his very best when he shows us films which take us back to the past of the protagonists. And this is a film which actually makes us appreciate even those tiny moments in our own past, tiny moments which are actually like little jewels. And I'm saying the word little jewels because there is one scene in particular in which we see one of the female characters, played by Serena Grandi. She's the grandmother of Lino Settembre, and she is looking for a diamond. And we know that her search for this diamond actually goes beyond the diamond itself. It represents something. It represents something within her own family, her own past, etc. So Pupi Avati is a director who makes films which take us back to the past and make us appreciate those memories, those flashes, those moments of the past, which we always carry with us. Of course, this is quite different because we have also the story of a disease, a degenerative disease.
And now we've come to the last of the films. That will be at 7 o'clock on Sunday, the 11th of December. La solitudine dei numeri primi.
Yes, very, very interesting film. Quite a complex, a very complex film, I would say. Even from a purely formal, visual point of view. Again, we have the transposition of a literary text. And again, it's quite interesting to see how this literary text is transposed to the screen and what the director does with this literary text. One of the main attractions of this film, I would say, has to do with the elements of the horror genre, typical elements of the horror genre, but they are used in a film in which you would not expect to see the dark atmosphere of a horror film. Why? What is the story about? I numeri primi, primary numbers. Primary numbers which are never close enough to actually meet. So, Alice and Mattia, the two protagonists, when they are children, they never meet. At least when they are children, they will meet later on in their life. But when they are children, both of them go through a very traumatic experience. A traumatic experience which has had a deep negative impact on their childhood and later on their adolescence. Alice was injured while Mattia lived with his younger twin sister who also had severe mental disabilities. So the story, what is the story about? Alice and Mattia, these very solitary children who then become adolescents and then they meet. And will they remain, will they still be solitary? Will they still be numeri primi or primary number? Or will their existence actually intersect?
Well, that was a fascinating run through those films. I really recommend people to, our listeners, to try and go and see, if not all of them, like your students are going to be doing, at least some of them. And if anybody wants information about them, they can actually contact the Istituto Italiano di Cultura, 21241944.
And also the secretary in the Department of Italian as well, 2340-2309.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us on University Matters. You can listen to any of the previous interviews in this series on the Campus FM website. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye. Il program li għadkom kem smajtu kien miġju plilkom biex xewqat tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.